This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, New Problems. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. It's hard to remember a time before social media, YouTube, and our frequent exchanges with total strangers. This has given rise to a new problem. Online harassment. It's happened to about 4 in 10 Americans. This could be anything from being called names or somebody posting something embarrassing about you to physical threats and stalking. It can be especially tough for people who have to have a strong online presence for their work. Some of them are turning to therapists for help. The problem is, what can therapists really do about this? Alan Yu reports.
Lindsay Ellis has a YouTube channel. She comments on films, TV shows, and other media. Here she is talking about recent Disney remakes.
The tendency to self-correct the outdated or questionable morality of the source material is all over the place in these remakes. Dumbo, in particular, is rife with it. See, in the original film, Dumbo accidentally gets lit on some champagne and hallucinates.
You can hear her analysis and see the scenes she's talking about.
But here...
Champagne for Dumbo!
No booze near the baby!
No, we couldn't allow underage elephants to drink. What would the children think?
And she's popular. Lindsay has more than 850,000 subscribers and more than 7,000 people who pledge to fund her work every month. But there is a difficult aspect to her work. Online hate. It started from day one.
Usually it was very benign, like, you know, try to diminish what you do by, like, you know, making comments about your appearance or even stranger ones saying, like, well, if they thought what I had to say was interesting, they would assume that a man was writing it.
At first, she would collect the ones she thought were funny, but she stopped doing that pretty quickly.
I guess anyone, but women especially, that has any kind of online presence, they all have a stalker story.
Hers happened in 2013. This particular stalker targeted Lindsay and a bunch of other female content creators.
Well, he was a burp fetishist. He would just flood everyone's mentions with requests for, like, burp for me.
And yes, she knows this sounds ridiculous and kind of funny. Most of the people she told were bemused to hear about someone wanting to hear her burp.
And this went on for several months, and I think whenever everyone started blocking him, that's when he kind of started to turn violent, or at least his rhetoric started to turn violent. You know, I'm going to rape you, like my friend had just had a baby at the time, like I'm going to kill your baby.
At the time, Lindsay and the other women were all in New York. They figured out this guy is probably local, so they printed out as much evidence as they could and went to the police.
We got the local detectives involved, and effectively they said, yes, this is an arrestable offense, but it's a misdemeanor, so we can't break into his house, even though we know where he lives and he has a record, which was very illustrative in just learning how not just impotent law enforcement is, but how much it's not really a priority for them. And in that case, that was just the beginning in terms of... my harassment journey, because it only got worse from there.
In 2017, she tweeted a joke about the conspiracy theory of white genocide, the idea that somehow white people are being threatened. That made her a target for far-right activists who flooded her with comments.
The knowledge that there are, you know, so many white supremacists out there that know who you are and wish you ill, and, you know, the fact that you are being made to think about this, you know, it affects your brain in a way that, like, any terrifying thing does. Like, fear messes with your brain, especially when it's sustained over a period of weeks and months like this was.
She tried to find help from therapists, but...
generally, therapists don't really know what to do with it, so they just kind of tend to ignore it in favor of discussing other things. And it's not like the other things are not relevant whenever you're going through therapy, but every therapist I've ever been to, this particular issue that occupies so much of my daily existence is a really big blind spot for them.
Some therapists have suggested she just log off and stop being online.
It's not only saying, why don't you cut off like half of your social contacts? It's basically saying, like, why don't you quit and do something else? And that doesn't read like a solution to me.
This is her livelihood. The internet lets individual people become online brands.
It is kind of like being a corporation, but where a corporation will have like social media managers and HR and PR teams and marketing, we only have ourselves. And in my case, one lonely assistant that has to moderate. And I think that people are so used to dealing with corporations and brands, they don't understand that. And they don't understand that they're not dealing with a corporation. They're dealing with a person.
Therapists and psychologists have studied cyberbullying for years, but there isn't much research on how to help the victims.
That's a huge deficit that needs to be filled.
Robin Kowalski is a psychologist at Clemson University. She studies bullying and cyberbullying. She says most of the cyberbullying research is on kids, and only recently moved to look at online harassment among adults. Which means that if a therapist or mental health professional has a client who is being harassed online and wants to know how to help them, that research doesn't really exist yet.
Where that leaves mental health professionals is dealing with the anxiety and the depression and the suicidal ideation and the job dissatisfaction that we know are outcomes.
Catherine Stamoulis is an educational psychologist. She has helped clients with online harassment, like teenage girls who get harassed by peers or by ex-boyfriends. But this is a problem for people beyond teenagers and people who make their living online. Catherine says that while there might not be specific treatment guidelines about online harassment, she helps her clients by drawing on techniques for dealing with similar issues like sexual harassment and bullying.
The field knows that this is a problem. Research is coming out. But as of yet, we don't have anything that's, you know, saying this is the best therapeutic strategy to deal with it.
This year, she's leading a subgroup of the American Psychological Association that focuses on media and technology. Their group is writing guidelines to help therapists treat victims of online abuse. For now, Lindsay still sees her therapist, but she also gets support from her peers. Some of her close friends also make a living online and face the same problem.
We just talk about how like afraid we are and how we have to meter everything we say and how everything is optics and, you know, your lived experience does not matter. The only thing that matters is trying to cultivate an online brand that will mitigate the harassment and will just make them calm down. The only thing we can really do is just sort of vent because, you know, we don't really have any solutions and it's incredibly isolating.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.